What do you want to talk about? I mean, I do want to talk about this gerrymandering story. What do you think?
Yeah, the gerrymandering thing is still disturbing to me. I know, as you pointed out, this was something that's been going on for a very long time. But it feels cancerous to me. I mean, mind you, there's a lot of things that feel cancerous to me in regards to our system. But let me say it this way, just a minute of grace. The revolutionary drive of a particular country when they first gain independence is one thing, right? They have these beliefs. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. We're going to have all of these highfalutin ideas. But at a certain point, it no longer becomes that. It's like, okay, getting votes is a pain in the ass. So let's just take money and let's use money in a way to con voters into voting for us. And then it becomes, okay, the money is not enough. So now let's just change the system itself. Like, meaning it's the bus driver changing the bus in order to make themselves that much more, let's say, to enshrine themselves into a particular position as opposed to being voted into a particular position because the public wants you. There's something very sinister about that. But give me your take on that.
Oh, no. I mean, it's fundamentally anti-democratic, small d democratic, right?
Yeah.
So let's, I mean, for people who don't understand how this works, right, let's look at the results first and work backwards. So the results are Tennessee is a state that is about a third Democratic. Like in all states, the big cities tend to be more Democratic. The rural areas tend to be more Republican. There is at present only, due to previous gerrymandering in Tennessee, only one congressional district represented by a Democrat. In Tennessee. That is this very black city of Memphis, which is at the center of Shelby County, right along the Mississippi River, right? So currently, I think there are nine districts, right? So there are nine districts in the state, only even in a state with one out of three voters is a Democrat, only one out of nine congressmen. But that's one too many for the state GOP. And they've decided to take advantage of this recent Supreme Court ruling gutting the Voting Rights Act. They're going to eliminate the 61% black district, and they're chopping it up six ways till Sunday. They're creating this new district that runs nearly, this is insane. I mean, I know Tennessee is a big state, but it's going to run 300 miles from Memphis all the way across the state, all the way over to the mountains in Nashville. And they're going to split Shelby County, which is, like I said, it's Memphis, and split it up into three different districts. The new district is basically has nothing in common with each other. It spans from the state's poorest zip codes in Memphis to the richest in places like Franklin and Brentwood. 300-mile-long congressional district. Yes. So, I mean, and I guess the thing is, what gets me is, okay, you can do this. You can, apparently. The Supreme Court says you can do it. But then there's like, should you? You know, I mean, it's like the shamelessness. And I guess there's a certain point where, you know, if I'm sitting on the Republican, and the Indiana Republican leadership did go through this process, they said, you know, you don't want to push people too far. Otherwise, you know, it's you're going to get a toxic reaction. And that's what's happening here. They're like, we don't want eight out of nine. We want the whole schmear. We want the whole state to be Republican. And online, conservatives, Trumpies, MAGA people, they're laughing their asses off. They think the whole thing is funny. They think it's
great.
They think it's fan-fucking-tastic. And, yeah. I mean, the thing is, look, people who watched us know that we would criticize this if it was the Democrats doing it.
Yes.
And so this is not about, you know, it just happens to be that Republicans are in the catbird seat right now and they get to be the big assholes. But as we saw under Biden with lawfare and everything, you know, Democrats know how to be dicks, too. They just don't have the chance right now. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like this is it's a level of toxicity that terrifies me. It's one of those things like we've talked about several things recently this week where it's like, I don't know how this plays out, but I know it's bad.
Look, I would tell you this. I mentioned this, I think it was either yesterday or the day before yesterday when we were mentioning the gerrymandering thing. And I pointed out how this stuff was being used to get rid of black districts. And this is a perfect example. Like, meaning,
oh, this is ultimate. Yeah.
Yeah. They're wielding
Memphis,
this.
I mean, such a black city, right?
Yeah. I mean, historic, right? I mean, in the same way that I mentioned they were using this before in order to be like making these weird districts in order to get rid of black voters or black votes, because, you know, obviously they vote typically Democrat. And so I don't entirely take it as a racial issue. I take it as a political issue. If blacks were voting for Republicans, they wouldn't be doing this, right? No, they're doing it in order to, I think they do it because they can. I think that's what
100%. Politics
is. You do it because you can. And yeah, you may get a toxic reaction. Yeah, people may like it, but what are you going to do about it? Which is what it always boils down to. And if that answer is bitch or nothing, then they're going to do it. It's that, I mean, again, our politics is based on good faith. And we've evolved.
Which is in absentia these days.
Yeah.
Maybe always has been. I don't know. But certainly now. It seems worse.
It always has been. I mean, because at some point, this stuff did used to work. And I guess that's what I mean when I said the revolutionary spirit goes away. I mean, it's no longer just an ideological thing of what is in the best interest of America and how do we maintain a democracy, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things require people to actually defend those ideas. When those ideas fall, and it just becomes, you know, this kind of cynical grab for power. Okay, then at that point, you need some kind of response to the cynical grab for power. And I guess my thought is, this stuff eats itself. I mean, if you're looking at California and Virginia are good examples. Republicans decide we want to change, let's say, the political system to allow more delegates to go from our state that are Republicans. And what do Democrats do? They say, okay, we're going to respond to it. And you have to respond to it, because otherwise you're just going to get game. But that also means that your government, your representative government, is effectively eating itself, which I think these things are hallmarks of. This stuff is cancerous.
What about the law of unintended consequences, right? I mean, one out of three voters in the state of Tennessee is a registered Democrat. There's probably some people who are moderate Republicans who probably think this isn't really playing fair. I mean, could there be backlash against the Republican Party where people just fundamentally say, this is uncivilized. It's just not the way we're supposed to behave.
No, I don't buy it. I think they're going to be okay with it. Maybe I'm cynical. I don't think these people
cynical. You're not paying attention.
Yeah, I think both parties are in drink Kool-Aid. I drink red Kool-Aid. Somebody drinks blue Kool-Aid, right? And in the people, and I'm not saying me, but I'm saying the people are on teams. It's almost like football games. Mm-hmm. And from their point of view, hey, our team is pushing this. And that's assuming they're even fully like engaged on this stuff. They may just agree with the Republican Party in general. Like,
it is like sports, right? Like, I'm not a sports fanatic. I mean, I don't know. Do you watch sports?
Just guess.
Okay, so like, but you know, so but you know, you periodically you hear like, oh, baseball changed such and such rule, football changed such and such rule, and I'm always like, but then it's not like chess doesn't change rules, like, you know, I mean, chess is always chess. Well, I guess they changed it hundreds of years ago, right? The board used to look very different and stuff.
Well, I just mean like clocks and stuff like that. They change rules around it, but I get your point.
But yeah, but you know, basically, you know, I mean, like the knight only has a certain type of move it can make, right? There's only certain things you can do. I mean, so politics is that way too, where they're changing the rules all the time. And it causes us all, I think, to lose respect for the system. I mean, it's like, it's their own rules. And I mean, I guess this is a good segue to the English thing. By the way, I do want to thank Trent, who did the thumbnail for today, just for having he goes the extra mile. So the title today comes from the Mott the Hoople song, all the way from Memphis, which is an old Mott the Hoople song, a great song, and he found he did a parody of the original album cover for
nice.
I mean, who's gonna know that, right?
But nice. I wouldn't have known that.
Just want to say, I don't know if this is wrong either, but I feel like there's certain cities in the United States that have a special place in the national character. New Orleans was one of them. And I think part of what made Katrina hurt was the fact that, you know, it's a special city. It's like there's only one like it, and it's an amazing place. And even if you've never been, you kind of like in your national consciousness, you know it's there. You know, that's not true about, say, Akron, you know. And I think Memphis is one of those cities. It's a special city. And it has, you know, it's an important city. And it just seems like beating up on Memphis, you know, which is a hard scrabble, bedraggled city, which has suffered since the slavery days. Beating up on Memphis, it just seems, it's rude, man. It's wrong.
I don't care. I have grown, as John Hammer said, realist. I've become a severe realist. This doesn't shock me. It's just, if you had a power to you do it. I've watched them. I remember in Ohio when the Civil Rights Act was first ripped limb from limb, and they were passing laws saying, hey, we require a voter ID and we require identification, and you can use a gun license, but you can't use a student license. It's like, okay, well, that's weird. Or student license, many of those kids are Democrats, and so we don't necessarily want them to be able to vote. And this was policy. What is the guy? He says, I don't want everybody to vote. He says, elections are not won by the side with the most voters. It's won by the side who can get their voters to the polls. And effectively, if you could stop somebody from getting to the polls, that is just as well as you winning the vote.
True.
This was Republican policy going all the way back to the Heritage Foundation. God, I need to pull that video. It's exactly the same thing. This policy has been this way for decades. So no, I'm not shocked, that is. To me, this is their way of gaining political power and political clout. And that is the only thing that matters. If you can't do anything about it, if you have no leverage, sad day.